Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
John chapter 7, verse 37, and I just want to start out by saying, I love being a Christian. I absolutely love being a Christian. And for those of you who are not followers of Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, you might be wondering, well, Craig, why? Why are you happy? Because I know a lot of people, their thoughts is you become a Christian, and all of a sudden, all the fun goes out of life. A bunch of fuddy-duddies, and sometimes they see Christians as being grumpy and negative and critical. You know, why would you enjoy being a Christian? And the thing is, when I think of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have a relationship with God, it means several things. First of all, I think of forgiveness. How God has forgiven me, He's cleansed me from everything wrong I've done. And here's the thing, you know what freedom it is to not carry the weight of a conscience that's burdened down by all the wrong things you've done? There's so much freedom, and there's a lightness to know that I'm forgiven and God's not hanging everything over my head, ready to drop a brick on me. He's not. He wants to forgive us. And that's one of the greatest reasons, but there's so much more. God has healed me. That's how I became a Christian. God healed me supernaturally of allergies. He's healed my wife of the sickness that she's had the past 2 years where there was times she couldn't walk on her own. She had facial tics and tremors. God's healed her. And we've seen major healings. We've seen minor healings. But we've just seen God do miracles in our lives. There's times when God has miraculously provided for us. There's times when God has given peace in the midst of the most turbulent, most stressful times of life. Deep down, there was a peace inside that we knew no matter how bad it looks, He's with us and He's going to be with us. There's been times I've experienced God's stability, God's joy, God's comfort, God's strength. And really, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't a Christian. It is awesome. Now, I am not a Christian just for what God has done for me. The main reason I want to be a Christian is because I realize I need God to save me from my sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I didn't have Christ in my life, I would be facing eternity in hell. And I realize I need God to save me. We all need God to save us. And that's the greatest reason why I love being a Christian, because I realize I'm sunk without Him. I'm going to hell without Him. I am not going to make it without Him. I need God in my life. Now, last week, and we're doing this series on price tags where we talked about how the devil wants us to switch out good things for the best things. He wants us to switch out non-important things for the important things. And last week, we talked about intimacy, having a closeness with God, a relationship with God, this closeness, this intimacy. But just to throw out a caution, we need to be on guard that as we enjoy our relationship with God, this closeness and this intimacy, that we don't fall into another switch of the price tags. Because you see, sometimes as Christians, it's like, well, what's God going to do for me? We can get a me-centered idea, a me-centered mindset. I've been pastoring for 28 years now, and I have seen this several times when people have said, you know, I'm looking for a church, and what do you have for me? What do you have for my kids? What do you have for my teens? What do you have for the elderly? What do you have for singles? Do you have this program? Do you have that program? What's in it for me? How can you minister to me? And I think it is important that you do find a church that meets the needs of you and your family. However, we can get so caught up in me, 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 that we forget that Christianity, a relationship with God, is not so much about me. There is a video we're going to show this morning that illustrates that me concept very well. Please watch the screens.
It's all about me.
It is all about you. Now the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD.
It's all about now I lift my name on high.
All 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you. Because you are unique, and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this
can do
for only $19.95.
Like
operators
do.
Are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing, and I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yuletide Favorites.
I sing. No.
Call 1-800-ME-ME-ME or order online at me-myself-and-I.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
That takes it to an extreme, doesn't it? But you know, sometimes, even though we don't sing it and say it like that, that's our mindset. That can be an unconscious attitude that creeps into our life. We live in such a me-centered society. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. You know, and it's all about me. And so we need to be on guard against that kind of an attitude. In your notes this morning, if you pull your notes out, they're in your bulletin today. We have a couple of questions there that really sum up the crux of this whole message this morning. And that those two questions are, how do I view my life? God, give me, or God, flow through me? Is it about what God can do for me, or is it about what God can do through me to others? And that's really what we're talking about today. And the Lord wants us to go beyond what He does for us. And yes, He does bless us. He does do all these things for us, but it doesn't stop here. That it goes beyond us and it goes to the people, to the world all around us. As we're continuing our price tag series this morning, we're going to focus on, are we containers or are we conduits? There's two mindsets we can have as Christians. Are we containers or are we conduits? The definition of both are there in your notes. A container is a receptacle for holding goods. A good illustration of a container is a pail. We fill a pail up. It holds things. It stores things. And that can be the first mindset. God, give me. God, bless me. God, help me. God, do this for me. And it's all about me. But then there's a second mindset that we can have, and that is of being a container and a conduit. A conduit is a natural or artificial channel through which something, such as a fluid, is conveyed. It's a means of transmitting or distributing. And a great example of a conduit is a hose. A hose is all about taking water from one location and transmitting it, distributing it to another location. And as we take a look at our text this morning, John chapter 7, verse 37, I want you to kind of keep in mind as we read this passage, is Jesus talking about us being containers like a pail, or is He talking about us being like conduits like a hose? Let's read our text, John 7, 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said that out of a Christian's heart would flow what? Rivers of living water. Notice that he didn't say we would be lakes of living water. He said we're going to have rivers of living water. You see, lakes stand still, but rivers move. Lakes just sit there and really don't do anything, but rivers have a direction. They have a path. They have force. They can carry goods. They can transport people. They can move you from one place to another. And when you take a look at these two symbols of containers or conduits, what's Jesus really saying we're to be as a Christian? Are we to hold and hoard and store and be a reservoir? Or are we to be something that is a river that flows, that transports, that is connecting to one thing and then taking what it receives and giving it and putting it somewhere else? A river is a conduit. And Jesus said, if you come and you drink and you receive from me, you enter into relationship with me, rivers of living water are going to flow out of you. Not just one, but there's going to be many avenues. The Holy Spirit wants to activate things in our life that impact other people. A pail is a container. A hose is a conduit. And this morning, God doesn't want us to be like a pail that sits around and does nothing. He wants us to be like a hose that is transmitting. You think about firemen. Aren't you glad they don't use pails, that they use hoses? If someone's in really bad trouble, their house is on fire, how many want the fire department with hoses and not pails? I remember when I was a kid, we went to Branson, Missouri, and we went to the Shepherd of the Hills. Anyone ever been to that presentation? And in the presentation, they start a house on fire. The house starts on fire, and they ask everybody in the audience to come down and help put out the fire. And so we form a fire chain, and there's pails, and we're circulating pails to put out this fire. And it's kind of funny, but I remember as a kid thinking, you know, why don't they just hook up to a hose? This would be a whole lot faster. God wants us to be hooked up to the power of the Holy Spirit and to be a conduit that makes an impact on other people and not just be a pail that sits around doing nothing. How do you and I avoid this mindset of being a container and have the mindset of God flow through me? Let me be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of other people. We have four things in your notes this morning. Number one, if you'd like to write this down, the first thing that I need to do, that you need to do, is that we need to see ourselves as an active player. I need to see myself as an active player in the kingdom of God. Followers of Jesus are not passively sitting in the stands watching the game. Followers of Jesus are not sitting on the bench letting life pass us by. We are in the game. We are active players in the kingdom. And we can see this concept all throughout Scripture. I just want to look at one of those scriptures today. Matthew, write this down. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Probably a fairly familiar passage. If you've grown up in church, you've probably heard this before. But Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is an active ingredient. You cannot miss salt's influence if you put it on meat or if you put it on popcorn, right? You taste salt. I mean, you add a little bit, boom, it makes a difference. Salt is an active ingredient that brings about a change in whatever environment, whatever situation it is applied to. And in Bible times, salt was used as a preservative for meat, to preserve meat. Salt was also, it adds flavor. It brings out the flavor. Instead of something being bland and tasteless, salt now enhances the flavor of whatever it is. And this is what Jesus is saying. As my followers, you are salt. You are to prevent decay in the world around you, in the people, in the relationships, in the lives of around you. You are to show them life without God is tasteless. Life without God is bland. But when you've got God, when God is in your life, that's when life becomes worth living. And Jesus says, you are salt. Make a difference in the lives of people that are around you. He goes on to say, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Light also is active, it's not passive. If you have a dark room and you bring a candle or a flashlight into it, the light pushes out the darkness. And Jesus is saying, I want you to shine my light. I want you to push out the darkness, push out the gloom, push out the despair that's in people's lives. So show them that there's hope. Show them that there's purity. Show them that there is a way that doesn't cause them to trip and fall because they're just moping around, wandering in the dark, and they don't know where they need to go. And Jesus says, you are light. He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Many times over the past 8 years since we've been here in Wyoming, we'll go back and visit family in South Dakota. And many times we will come back on, you know, on I-90 through Gillette, cut down, go to Midwest, and then take Interstate 25 south into Casper. And if you've ever driven that route, if you've come from the north, coming south into Casper, there's a certain point, there's a hill that you come up over the hill and you see the lights of Casper. How many know what I'm talking about? And I tell you, after 10 hours of driving, it's like to see those lights, it's like, yes, we're almost home. There's hope. The whole trip is like, man, it's behind me. We're almost there. Thank you, Jesus. You can't escape it because the city is there. It's up higher, and you don't escape it. And here's the thing. Jesus is saying, you are a city that's set on a hill, that when people see you, there is some, they maybe don't know what it is, but they're saying yes, and they're drawn to you. They want to come to you. You give them hope. There's something about your life that makes an impact and touches the lives of other people. He goes on to say, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so I just ask us this morning, is our light shining? Is your light shining at work, students at school, in your neighborhood? Is your light shining in your relationships, in your thought life? Is the light shining so that people are seeing the real Jesus? Does your life have the flavor of God in it? That when people taste it, have you ever had popcorn with no salt? How many of you like popcorn with absolutely no salt? Any takers? I see a couple. How many like it better with a little bit of salt on it? Now, I also see those same hands going up. You'd rather have a little salt, okay? So here's the thing. When you taste it with no salt, and then you have it with salt, you say, ooh, this is the one I want. Is there something about our life when people taste us, when people just encounter us, even for a little bit, they say, there's something, I want more of that. I want more of what they've got. You see, that's what being a conduit is all about, that when people encounter us, they say, I want what they have. I maybe don't know what it is, but, oh, that's good. And that's what Jesus wants us to have in our lives. And here's the thing. The devil does not want to see the church to become conduits. He wants us to think, oh God, give me, help me, provide for me, do this for me. And did get so caught up in our lives that we're not thinking about the rest of the world around us. And it can be so easy. I know when problems come up, when things come up, it's so easy to say, oh, God, help me. But he doesn't want us to stay in a container mindset. He wants us to give the hurt and the pain and say, God, help me, even as I'm going through these problems, to be a conduit that brings life that the Holy Spirit can flow through. So the first thing that we need to do to be conduits and not containers is to see ourselves as active agents in the kingdom on a daily basis. Point number two this morning, for us to be conduits and not containers, we need to stay connected to the source. We need to stay connected to the source. Let's look back at our text. Verse 37, John 7, 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Those words, come and drink, are in the continuous tense. Jesus is not saying, well, hey, just say a prayer, come to me, and then go on your way and do what you want. He's saying, no, I want you to come and to drink and to keep coming and keep drinking. He's saying, I want you to stay connected to me. We need the intimacy with Jesus that we talked about last week in part two of our series. We need to be people of prayer, people of worship, people who are letting God's truth wash over our lives and cleanse us, people that are letting his truth and promises strengthen us so that we can stand and we can be strong and help others. We need to spend time with the Holy Spirit so that we are displaying the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because here's the thing, I cannot give away what I don't possess. If I don't have $100 on me, which I don't right now, I can't give you $100. And if I don't have the love of God, if I don't have the patience of God, if I don't have the forgiveness of God, if I don't have the joy of God, whatever it is, if I'm not connected to the source and I don't possess those things, there's no way I can give them and be a conduit to other people. And we need to be careful because sometimes, yes, we'll have our devotions, these times of intimacy, but then are we walking in the Spirit throughout the day? Are we maintaining that connection? Or do we get the life's problems and worries and situations and sicknesses, whatever it is we encounter, do they cut off that connection and it just becomes, oh God, help me, help me, help me, and I'm a container again? And so we need to stay connected as we walk through our day, as we walk through life, to keep that intimate connection with Jesus. For a hose to work, you have to hook it up to the spigot, right? I mean, I don't care. You know what? If you don't hook it up to the spigot, a hose, carrying it around all day can be kind of a cumbersome thing. But I mean, if you got purpose and you're giving out and you're bringing life to those around you, then it makes a difference. Don't try to be a conduit if you're not connected. So stay connected. Walk in intimacy. Walk in the Spirit. Point number three, the third thing involved in being a conduit is offer to God what I have and he will do the rest. Offer what you have to God and he will do the rest. Sometimes we're not conduits because we feel we're not up to the task. We're not spiritual enough. We're not talented enough. We're not rich enough. We don't have time enough. But God is not asking you and me for more than what we have. He's simply saying, give me what's in your hand, put it in my hands, and let me bless it. And a great example of this, if you flip back one chapter to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verses 8 to 10, it talks about the feeding of the 5,000, and there was not enough food to feed that many people. But look what happened. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And you know what Jesus said? You're right, just forget it, tell everybody to go home. Is that what he does? No. He says, Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. And just a little pause here. I think it's so cool that not only was God concerned with feeding him, but he made sure there was a lot of grass. I want you to think about in Wyoming, if you go out into the wilderness and you sit down, how comfortable is that? Not very, is it? But if there's much grass, that's something nice to sit on. You see, God was setting up even the little details that, and not only they got their bellies full, but their bottoms wouldn't get sore as they did it. God was working everything out. And so there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down. The number was about 5,000. By the way, there were 5,000 men. There were also women and children there. Theologians say there were probably at least 12,000 people or more. It goes on to say, Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. God did a miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fish. He took the little bit, everything that the little boy had, and he says, here, take it. And when he put it in God's hands, God did a mind-blowing miracle. And Satan wants God's people, he wants you and I, to feel inadequate, that we don't measure up, that we don't have enough. We haven't prayed enough. We're not spiritual enough. We're not talented enough. We're not rich enough. This little bit that we have in our hand, it can't make a difference, friends. That is a lie. And a little boy, he caught that secret. How come sometimes kids get it, but we as adults don't? Take whatever you have and say, God, here it is. Use me as a conduit. And when you and I are willing to step out and do that, look out. God's going to blow your mind. He'll do something that's impossible, and he'll get the glory for it. So that's the third point. So let's review very quickly. What's the first thing we need to do to be conduits? Be an active player. Awesome. Number two, stay connected to the source. Number three, offer whatever you have. Number four, here it is, the last one. You ready? This is the best one. Maybe. Be prepared for life to get messy. Be prepared for life to get messy. If you're going to be a conduit, life will get messy. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 14:4. It's kind of an obscure one. People look at it and they say, why is this your favorite? Well, look at here. It says, where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. How many of you know if you have a barn full of oxen, you're going to have a mess? You're going to have to clean up. You're going to have to shovel some things, right? Now, if you have no oxen, you've got a clean barn. You have a great-looking barn. But you know what? You're not going to see much result because there is much production by the strength of an ox. And what I believe God is trying to teach us here, if you really want to see me do something, then you need to be willing to deal with the mess. Because here's the thing. I know in my home, my pails, they're nice and organized. They're stacked. They're sitting in a nice place. Easy to find, easy to get to. But you know what? My hoses, it doesn't matter. Every time I roll up a hose, it seems like it gets tied in a knot. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, it gets tangled. They're hard to work with. And here's the thing, friends. If you and I are going to be conduits, we're going to get mixed up in the tangled lives of people. It's not going to be orderly and neat and nice. We're going to enter the fray, the mess, the chaos. And here's the thing. We have to make a choice. Do I want a neat life, an orderly life, or am I willing to get messy? Here's one. Do we want a neat church, a nice church, a tidy church, and no messes? Man, those people that come in, they stink. They smell. Their kids are unruly. They're undisciplined. They have no boundaries at home. They're mean because they haven't experienced unconditional love from mom and dad. They're in a bad situation. when a church says we want to be conduits of the Holy Spirit, what that church needs to realize, they're opening themselves up to a mess. They're opening themselves up to problems. Out the door goes our nice little cute quaint church where everything's great anymore and we know everybody and everything's awesome. You start to get involved in the mess of people's lives, it's going to take time. It's going to tangle you up. It's going to slow you down. But I know one thing. A pail, it just sits there. And the water in it gets stagnant and attracts mosquitoes and sludge and mold and all that other stuff, fungi, algae, all that stuff. But a hose, the hose is out in the excitement. It's putting out fires. It's saving lives. It's seeing life come in a place where there was death and destruction. A hose is a conduit. And friends, I want us to be conduits of the Holy Spirit, where we just don't say, oh man, it's Sunday morning, it's church, I'm coming in, I sit down in my seat, God, fill me up, God, oh, give me a great time, oh, this is so good. And then I collect algae and mosquitoes. I want us to come in and say, oh God, come in today, fill me up. Here I am, I'm sitting down, and Lord, give me so much so that I can go out this week, and on Monday, boom, I'm giving it away, and I'm keeping an intimacy with you, and on Tuesday, I'm giving it away, and on Wednesday, I'm giving it away, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, and I'm making a difference everywhere I go. I'm touching and impacting people. Are you a container? Or are you a conduit?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.